What's up, listeners? On this week's pod, we'll talk round two in the NFL playoffs, and we'll give our thoughts on the College Football National Championship, which will lead to one player receiving the highest honor ever bestowed by the Rookie Show. Thanks to an angle from the outfield, we're going to piggyback on last week's pod by choosing the best bit parts slash cameos of Adam Sandler's random actor crew, and we're going to do so in fantasy draft format. Of course, we've got to play everybody's favorite game, Stumptown, and we'll preview the championship weekend in the NFL. Let's do it. Delta Stadium, 12 o'clock. Carol Corresponding Saints, Carol Corresponding Saints. Marcus on to Piosta, North Benton, South Benton. Woo! 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 Welcome back, everybody, to the Rookie Show. I am your host, Elvis Coyne. Joining me, as always, Travis Knoll. How's it going, Knoll?
You know, it's going good. I feel like my woos at the beginning of the podcast have not been great lately. I need to work on those.
Is there a reason? Are you like sad about something, or are you just kind of a woo-less
individual? I'm sad about all the money I've lost on football since the start of the new year, but I don't think that's it. I think I just need more wooing, woo practice.
You're like I know you're not a How I Met Your Mother guy, but you're like a woo girl. You need to be like a woo girl, I guess.
Yeah, no, I'm more into good TV shows, so.
You take your slander back, and you can go back to your shanties and watch it there.
We should do a whole podcast, maybe a two-hour one long, where I just list TV shows that are better than How I Met Your Mother.
You think you'd have enough time?
I don't know if we'll have time. Old school, better than How I Met Your Mother.
It's a movie, not a TV show. Oh, big pet peeve of mine. Don't call movies shows.
That's true. Listen, I'm on board with you, but it just rolled off the tongue. I'm sorry.
Oh my God. How was your weekend? Did you do anything fun?
Let me just start off because I didn't yet say what up, Coyne.
Oh, right. You know, not much. No, it's cold here, and I'm being a real baby about it. I'm just going to say it every week. It's freaking cold.
Yeah, I'm sick of it. The listeners are sick of it. We're all sick of it.
That's so fine. You can be sick of it. It's not going to make me any less cold.
Yeah. So, back to business. What did you ask me? Back to business.
What did you do this weekend? Do you anything fun?
We had our company holiday party this weekend, and it was quite fun. They had it at this real fancy, it's like an old boys club of Chicago. Basically, it's like a giant, real fancy frat house type thing, it seemed like. Oh, and it was sick. In this real nice ballroom and tons of free drinks, and it was pretty cool.
Free is my favorite kind of drink.
Yeah, definitely. It's in the top three types of drinks for me.
What are the other two?
Hot and cold.
I like that. I also like non-drugged. It's one of my favorites too.
True. Also true. My least favorite is lukewarm, so it's free, hot, and cold.
Be one or the other. Don't be in the middle, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
I went to a basketball game this weekend. Went to Bucks Blazers. It was cool. Giannis is really big in person. Actually, I was really far away. It was kind of hard to tell. But still pretty cool in person.
Yeah.
Then afterwards, we turned up pretty well, and I went and did some more karaoke, because I love karaoke, and it was a lot of fun. I noticed that you also had an interaction with karaoke this last week.
An extremely funny Snapchat. If any of you are friends with my girlfriend Katie on Snapchat, she captured my reaction to some people that were singing karaoke, and it's probably the most disgusted look I've ever seen on anyone, much less myself, at just how bad these girls were singing the karaoke. And it looks like I'm just having a horrible time. And in fact, I had a really good night. I had a really good night up until that point, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I messaged her immediately, and I just said, I've never seen anybody look so angry and appalled at the same time while hearing terrible music in the background of this video.
Yeah, it was upsetting, but overall, it was a great night, so no regrets.
No regrets. Well, that's good, man. It was a pretty wild weekend full of football, too. Everybody thought, though, the Titans absolutely blew out the Ravens, so that was cool.
Yeah, just as I suspected.
Just like I thought. Derrick Henry's going to again rush for 200 yards, and Ryan Tannehill is going to throw the same amount of touchdowns as him, and the Titans beat the Ravens. Like, just normal.
Yeah, you should have waited on your stats, because Tannehill did it again. Won a playoff game without 100 yards, so.
He sure did.
It's pretty incredible.
Pretty incredible indeed. Do you have anything else to say about the game?
So, you kind of cut out. Did you mention the Chiefs game, or are we just starting with Titans-Ravens game?
We're starting with Titans-Ravens, because it was the funniest one.
Okay, got it. Sorry. So, Titans-Ravens game. So, kind of my obituary for the Ravens, since we've kind of been doing this, or really it's a closing thought on them, is that they, at this point, I feel like should be praying that Lamar's destiny for the first, you know, half of this decade, the 2020s, is not going to be that of LeBron and or James Harden of the end of the 2010s, where he could be like the most dominant player, the best player in the league on a absolutely incredible team, but Mahomes Chiefs are just going to be too good for the next 5 years, where they'll never be able to get over that hump, and they'll just waste Lamar's prime because he always has to go up against Mahomes. It's kind of like Harden in many other eras of the NBA, and these Rockets teams would have won a title by now, but having to go through the Warriors and one of the best teams of all time just really ruined that prime. So I just think to myself, there's a chance that that happens with Lamar and this Ravens team.
Yeah, totally. And even if you wanted to stay in the same sport, you could go early aughts or late aughts, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, how Tom Brady was just kind of always in the way of Peyton Manning getting to another championship. And it was always like before he got that one with the Broncos, it did seem like maybe the greatest quarterback of our lifetime is only going to win one Super Bowl because he just ran into this buzzsaw every single year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. They definitely can't. I mean, I think people forget that, you know, Peyton knocked out Brady a few times in years that I think that Peyton didn't actually make the Super Bowl. But yeah, so they canceled each other out a little bit, but Brady definitely, well, same thing with the argument because LeBron did end up beating the Warriors one of those times. So
that's true.
He was able to poke through once, but he's still like, same thing. LeBron and those Cavs teams could have had maybe two or three titles if they didn't have to go against the best team of all time. So
yeah, I totally agree. I always kind of thought of that. I mean, I would love to one day on this podcast do a NBA NFL player comp. And I do think that for the purposes of this, I've always thought of LeBron and Peyton as kind of the same. And then I liken Tom Brady to Kobe.
Okay. Interesting. Not Jordan.
You would think it would be more Jordan, but I actually lean Kobe on this one.
I feel like that's a slight on Tom Brady.
It's a slight on both of them. That's a podcast topic for another time, though. I am a huge hater. That's fine. But that's what I thought there.
Then I'll go on the record right now and say, so far my player comps are Mahomes is Steph and Lamar is Harden.
I like that. I like Lamar as Harden a lot, actually. That's pretty cool.
But we'll see.
I also hope that this isn't what we're getting, is that Lamar is just going to end up butting his head against this brick wall for the next 5 years, trying to get over the hump of what could be a generationally great quarterback.
Yeah, for sure.
This is John Harbaugh, right? Ravens is John Harbaugh.
John, yeah.
I think he's a good coach, and I think that he will figure something out to get around this. Maybe they can get lucky in a postseason where it'll be every year these two teams are 1-2 and somebody will knock out the Chiefs earlier.
Yeah, it could be. And again, it's, you know, the Chiefs aren't even the team that knocked the Ravens out. So it's, you know, the fact that we're sitting here saying, oh, the Ravens can't get over the Chiefs hump. But I think the fact that the Chiefs were able to come this crazy deficit and overcome all these obstacles to win shows, you know, the difference in experience and leadership and ability that Mahomes has over Lamar. Not to say Lamar can't get to that level, but I think Mahomes is coming out and saying, listen, I'm still the man. I'm last year's MVP. You know, Lamar, you had the stats this year, but I'm still the better guy right now. So,
and I think he's really proven that, especially over the last 7 weeks when the Chiefs have just kind of set fire on the league.
Yeah, exactly.
The other crazy thing about this game, I was looking at the box score after. I feel like if I would have just looked at the box score, I would have said, oh, the Ravens probably won by a touchdown. It was a close game. But
yeah,
the Titans just kind of pulled it out. Lamar finished with 365 and 145 rushing.
The stats are just ridiculous. They don't make any sense. I was looking that up, and I'm sure ESPN's thrown out stats like this before, but he's the only player in NFL history in any game, not just a playoff game, with 300 passing yards and 110 or more rushing yards. So, like, you can drop a bunch off of his totals. You can do say the same thing, only player with 350 pass yards and over 80 rush yards. Excuse me. And he had, yeah, like you said, 365 and 140. I thought the actually craziest stat was only player in NFL history to have 50 pass attempts and 20 rush attempts in the same game.
That's a lot.
That's Harden right there. That's a usage rate.
Yeah. That feels very... My body is sore as fuck the next day.
Oof, yes, I imagine he was hurting on Monday.
I do like this Harden Lamar comparison. Would it be blasphemous to say it might be more of a Lamar Russ comparison?
That's interesting. I'd have to think about that. I'm open to that idea. And as a Russ lover, and I know right. You're a Russ hater. Granted. This year, Rockets Russ, I'm not as big of a fan of. I like Alpha Dog Russ. I'm not right. into Sidekick Russ. But
Stat Chasing Russ.
Yeah, so you're comparing Lamar to Thunder Russ, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oof, that might be even better. There's a lot of similarities there. I think because of like the yards per attempt and the yards per rush, like how efficient Lamar's numbers are, you know, Harden has a much better efficiency numbers. But Russ is also the much more like athletic, dynamic guy. So maybe he's right in between. He's the Harden slash Rush.
That'd be a fun comparison. Talk about the ideal. Like if you could suck the powers out of people and then just go play pickup basketball, that would be fun.
Speaking of pickup basketball, quick shout out to the Clark Construction team who overcame a 16-point halftime deficit to get their first win of the season last night. Have a day, Clark.
Did you contribute any points to your team?
First half, no. Second half,
also no.
1-for-1 on my layup. I'd say first half I was 0-for-8 probably, and then second half I was like, oh yeah, I can't shoot. And then I only took one shot. It was a wide open layup. Rolled around the rim a couple times. Really tried to miss that one, but it somehow fell. So
good layups work. Are my absolute kryptonite. I cannot make an open layup to save my goddamn life.
I'm right there with you. Back to the topic at hand. Getting quite
off subject. Why? Let's just keep on about.
Just kidding. We're gonna talk for 2 hours about our pickup basketball experiences.
All right, we can do. Should we go to the Chiefs now?
You know, it's funny. I didn't even write down any notes about the two NFC games because I didn't have any thoughts about them at all. But yes, we can go to the Chiefs and Texans game.
All right.
So the Chiefs and Texans game was, as everyone knows, the most ridiculous game of all time. Did you think that they were going to come back? Did you, you know, how confident were you in that comeback?
I know I texted you at one point, just set my money on fire. But I was in the kitchen cooking a breakfast Sammy, which was delicious, by the way.
Sounds delicious.
But I looked over and I knew that they were down 17-0 or whatever at that one point. And I was thinking, oh my God, this is terrible. And it looked like all these terrible things were happening. But then I go and look at the clock and there's still 48 minutes of game time left. And I felt very, very confident at that point that the Chiefs were going to come back and win. Especially even after that first touchdown, I'd pretty much guaranteed to myself that the Chiefs would come back and win.
Yeah, Katie and I decided at 14-0 we would put like $15 on the Chiefs to win, which was like pretty close to even odds at that point. Should have waited a little longer because then they got up to like 3-1 or something like that. So that was literally the only bet I've won in 2020 was the live bet of the Chiefs while down 14-0. So yeah, I felt pretty good about that too. But gosh, even so, just the fact that they put up 50 points, essentially 50 straight points. I can't fathom it.
No, that's the first thing I'd written down. So they went down 24-0 and then went on a 51-7 run in three quarters. What? Oh my God.
I'm glad I have them as my Super Bowl pick.
Yeah, same here. That's all I really have on the Chiefs. Do you have any notes, closing thoughts on the Texans?
No, I didn't have an obituary for them. They seem to me to be destined to do this every year. I mean, until I don't know. My only thought was I don't really mind either of the calls that Bill O'Brien made that everyone kind of roasted him for. So they roasted him for not going for it and kicking the field goal to go up 24-0. I didn't mind that.
I thought it was a fine call.
Go up by 24. Like, how many games have people blown those leads? It's very rare. And then the other one was the fourth down. They faked the punt. And, like, the only reason they didn't get that, yeah, I get it. It's a risky call. But the only reason they didn't get that is because the dude for the Chiefs made an awesome tackle. Like, I'd say the majority of the time, an NFL skill guy breaks that tackle or gets around that guy when it's one-on-one like that. And it was just a really, really good play by that guy. So if they get that, you know, the whole complexity of the game might be different. They probably still get their ass kicked. They lost by 20. But I don't know. I didn't mind either call, to be honest.
The field goal definitely I thought was okay. I probably would have done the same thing, honestly.
Yeah.
It's hard to say without being in the situation, I guess, and knowing like the atmosphere on the sideline. However, the fake punt, I don't think I would have done. I agree with you that most skill guys in the NFL probably break that tackle. That was a safety. He's still in the NFL, obviously very athletic. He's a safety, but I just don't know if that's the play you want. And then especially when the Chiefs are already gaining momentum.
Yeah. I could see that. Maybe they should trade for Taysom Hill, and then he can be their fake punt guy. But he would have broke that tackle without a doubt.
That would be cool. Kind of sticking with that theme you brought up earlier, what do you think of the Texans kind of being that, like the 2011 to 2015 Lob City team? They always just kind of make it, and they kind of challenge, but nobody's ever really worried they're going to do anything.
I felt like there was a time where Lob City legitimately felt like contenders, whether it was just a year or two. I felt like they could win it, before the Warriors' definite rise to stardom. I've never felt like Houston really was challenging for a Super Bowl, so I think they could hit that point if they shore up, you know, their line and their coaching a little bit because they got the skill guys. But I would say have to find a comparison of a team that really never felt like they could win it.
What about the 2016 Hawks?
Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah.
Getting closer, getting warmer, yeah.
All right, I'm just going to keep pulling teams out of my butt, see what you find.
Okay, all right.
Speaking of Hawks, segues. Packers taking down the Seahawks 28-23, and it really, really did seem like Russell was going to do it for a minute.
Yeah, he's amazing. I feel really bad for Russ because in, you know, I'd say 75% of other years of the NFL, he'd probably be the MVP just for dragging this team to, well, they have 11 or 12, I think it's 12 11 wins,
and 5.
Right? 11 and 5, won a playoff game on the road. He's just everything to that team, overcoming injuries. So I really turned around on Russ this year. I used to be a Russ hater. I was jealous because of the 2012 draft class that he was better than RG3 in. Right. But now I'm kind of a Russ lover, unfortunately.
I, too, have flipped. I mean, I am notably a Seahawks hater. It's one of my favorite things in the world to do.
Yeah.
But I would say I would go as far as to say that all things being equal, I don't think that there is a better quarterback in the NFL right now. Like, I think that I would rather have him than Mahomes. Like, all things equal, that offense, those receivers, everything.
How many guns are being held to your head when you're making this decision?
62 guns.
Okay.
At the head, one of them is at your crotch.
One of the 62 or an additional?
Yes.
Not a 63rd gun?
No. 61 at your head, 62nd gun is at your penis.
Oh, in that case, I take Mahomes.
Yeah, okay.
It's close, though. You're probably right. I probably take Russ right now. If you're playing the game of you get to keep him for the next 15 years, you take Mahomes just because he's got, you know, 6 years of you know, what's the word? Longevity, I guess.
Yeah, I wanted to say eligibility. That wasn't it.
But yeah, if I had to just make a playoff run with the same supporting cast, you're probably right. I probably take Russ just because I trust him in those situations.
Yeah. One drive to do it. You're probably taking Russ there. And then Mahomes, and then Jameis Winston.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, what?
The one thing I would say to give the Packers some credit, the Seahawks defense was not very good all year, and Rodgers kind of finally exposed it, especially on those last drives. That last spot was a little iffy.
It was bad. It was short. It was definitely short. I think everybody knows it was short, but I don't know.
The Packers are going for it anyway on fourth down.
Yeah, the Packers were better. I think the Packers deserved to win. Rodgers was really good. I mean, he had some absolute pills.
He was really good.
But you know who was even better? Devontae Adams. Oof, that dude is really good at receiver.
He is so gross off the line, getting off of corners, trying to jam him, and he's so good with his positioning on the sidelines, and him and Adams have Rodgers have this rapport. It's pretty incredible.
It is. It's remarkable to watch. Reminds me of a young Greg Jennings.
Greg Jenny.
I don't think they're anything alike. I just wanted to say Greg Jenny. So R.I.P. to the Hawks.
R.I.P. here.
Sorry, Daniel Sally.
Shouts facts. and to the final game, the Niners taking down Kirky and the Vikings 27-10. The Niners looked in control pretty much the entire way.
Yeah, it was false hope. I think it was a 4-point lead at half, but they were overmatched. Kirky was fine. It wasn't like all his fault that they lost. Yeah. I think he threw one pick, right? And I don't know. It could have been better, but
I would probably give half of the blame to Thielen on it.
Oh, that's
Sherman
right.
jumped the route really well, yeah. But it was Thielen on that curl, and he just didn't come back at all.
I still hate Richard Sherman.
Yeah, me too. He was bad, like you're saying. Yeah, he was bad. Offense overall was awful. And
yeah.
I do love that the Browns saw that and were like, let's hire that guy.
Yeah.
That's the offense we've seen enough. Run.
Exactly.
That pick he threw was genius. Let's get more of those.
Genius. So speaking of our guy Kirky, I was just thinking back, and I did mention this when we're talking about Russell Wilson. Thinking about back to the 2012 draft class of quarterbacks, which in hindsight is pretty remarkable when you look at these guys, right? Andrew Luck, surprisingly really tired, out of the league. RG3 is currently in the playoffs as a backup to a second-year guy.
Well, he's not in the playoffs anymore.
Sorry, I wrote this last week, so I apologize. He made the playoffs. He is now out, but those were the top two picks in the draft, had all the hype in the world. One's a backup, one's out of the league. Next quarterback drafted, Ryan Tannehill, who was a bust for 10 years, and then all of a sudden he's good, and he's in the AFC Championship game. So those were the first three quarterbacks taken. The fourth quarterback taken, Brandon Whedon for the Browns.
Good pick, Browns.
He is by far, far and away, the worst pick of any quarterback in this draft, and I'm pretty sure they traded up back into the first round to get him.
Brandon Whedon was bad. They should have known based off name alone not to take Brandon Whedon.
Oh, gosh. That has to be the worst quarterback name of all time.
Awful name. Wasn't he in? I'm pretty sure he was like 28 when they drafted him. Because he went back to Oklahoma State.
Yeah, he was super old. And to make matters worse, with the fourth pick in the draft, they selected Trent Richardson. So they they went Trent Richardson, Brandon Whedon in the first round.
Trent Lardvans.
Yeah. The next quarterback selected was our guy, Brock Osweiler, who is also out of the league. But give him credit where credit is due. He contributed to the Super Bowl winning Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning got benched for Brock Osweiler, and Osweiler went and beat Tom Brady in overtime. So, you know, that's a better pick than Whedon, and you could argue he's done more than Tannehill at this point.
Brandon Whedon never got backed up by Mike Van Arendonk. That's a big accomplishment.
Mikey V. Oh, sick. There were three more quarterbacks taken in this draft. Russell Wilson, you know enough about him.
I've heard of him.
Next was Nick Foles, Super Bowl champ Nick Foles.
Big Dick
and,
Nick.
Sorry, Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles. And lastly, Kirk Cousins, who is, as of last week, a playoff game-winning quarterback. So it's pretty crazy how the quarterbacks of that draft class ended up, and the fact that the only one remaining in the playoffs right now is Ryan Tannehill.
Hell yeah.
That's
everybody. Everybody wrote Ryan Tannehill off, what, 4 years ago? He was always okay in Montana, or in Miami.
Montana.
Montana. Sick. He was always okay to me in Montana.
he was drafted in 2012. I'd say I wrote him off in 2013. So shame on me for not believing in you, Ryan.
I was a big fan of Tannehill at Arkansas.
Do you think people say, have a day, Ryan, to him?
They say Rye Guy.
They don't call him Tan Man?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Just thought of that just now.
I just walked into that.
Rye Guy, Tan Man, what up?
That's pretty good.
Okay, that's all I got on NFL stuff. So go ahead.
Coolio. Well, that's enough NFL stuff. How about we get to the other big football event on the weekend, the Natty, LSU Clemson.
Yeah, it was a good game, especially the first half. It was a lot of fun. You and I are both not known for being college football guys, but
Nope. Pretty
cool to watch like these two teams that so much NFL talent. And for some reason, it seems like it's probably because it's juxtaposed to like the worst players on the team. But college guys on TV seem faster to me than NFL guys.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's that they're just blowing by these DBs who aren't ready for NFL speed.
Yeah, it's like the 11th player on an NFL team still really fast, but like the 11th player on Clemson's like pretty
that
average.
White safety? Yeah, that's who it is.
They got thrown out for targeting?
Yeah, no, that's the, that guy was the linebacker.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. So it was cool. It was a fun watch. Joe Burrow is amazing. I don't think there's anything that hasn't already been said about him, but you can't say enough about him. That dude is a freak.
Yeah, he good. He dumb good. I totally agree with you. I remember at one point I was looking at the field and kind of like naming or looking at the players, and all I was thinking was that there were probably 8 NFL first round draft picks out there.
Yeah.
They're good. Joe Burrow throws one of the best deep balls I've ever seen.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
He throws so many that we had to explain to people that don't understand what pills are.
Mm.
And pills are good.
Yes, I was I was out at the bar after our basketball game, and the first deep ball he threw, which was a touchdown for like 60 yards, I was like, pills? Or like, what is pills? And by the end of the game, everyone at the bar was like, pills! Because they totally understood what I'm trying to tell them.
Incredible. He looked so good. It was funny. I was kind of away from a TV for halfway through the first quarter, and I just checked the box score when I got into my car. And I saw he was like 4 for 9 with maybe 50 yards or 40 yards or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, is Joe Burrow going to play himself out of being the first overall pick?
Little did you know.
Oh my God, how wrong I would be.
I had to go back and tally just for my sake. And Joe Burrow had 50 fantasy points.
50. That's good.
I understand college is different than NFL, but if he was actually playing a fantasy, 50 points, that's pretty good. Which got me thinking about an important award that I think you and I need to hand out right now.
Oh, the Juwanna Men Amongst Girls of the Week?
Not only that. So I've selected 3 finalists for the Juwanna Man Among Girls of the Year. Yeah.
What?
So here's the 3 finalists, all right? We're going to start with who we just talked about, Joe Burrow. That dude in that game stood out as someone who should be the number one pick in the draft versus a bunch of normal dudes. So just the definition, looked like a man among boys. Next pick, Lamar Jackson, just because so many times all year he made defenders look like noobs out there, just shaking
#noobs. He pwned them.
Lamar Jackson pwning noobs out there, and he was a man among boys. Now
we're owning noobs.
Here's the dark horse. Here's the dark horse candidate who has emerged in the last 6 weeks.
It's Derrick Henry.
Yes. He literally looks like a man among boys. He is gigantic. He's running over people. He's single-handedly carrying this team to playoff victories. I don't think we can discount the entirety of Lamar's year, but at this point in time, it's going to be hard to say no to Henry. So, with that said, those are my three finalists. Would you like to add any others?
No, those are all good. And I'm glad you brought in Henry, because I had made a note and I forgot to say it that I wanted to give him it this week. So I'm glad we could just do the year one. Let's see. Do I have any other finalists?
I'm trying to think of guys that we gave it to. I think I gave it to Cap'n Crunch 1 week, so we can probably let that slide.
Are you sure I know that put him in the top four?
I know that Clowney's got it a couple weeks. I think Khalil Mack got it before. Definitely. He kind of tailed off. I think Lamar got it a couple times. Yeah, I don't have my notes saved. But I don't know if number of weekly awards should be the tally.
I gave it to Alvin Kamara once. You know what? We make our own rules here. We're just going with these three.
Okay, good.
Honorable mention, Cap'n Crunch. On Crunchy.
All right, I am going to let recency bias prevail and give my Juwanna Man Among Girls of the Year to Derrick Henry.
Bang. Agreed. He also gets my vote. I would go definite recency bias. I'm going to go Henry, Burrow, Jackson.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Watching Derrick Henry throw Earl Thomas to the ground like he was a little kid in a flag football game or whatever. When you're home over Thanksgiving or Christmas or something, and you have your little cousins around and they keep like running up on you to have fun, you just kind of get to toss them to the ground because they're at that age that's old enough and they're not going to break their arm immediately. That's what it was like.
That's what I do to you, like when we'd wrestle in our house in the when we were in college.
What?
No, just kidding. You're way too fat for that. Okay. That brings up our next question. If you had a baseball bat, how many hundreds of baby zombies could you take out if they were trying to eat you? All right, moving on.
Are they so baby zombies or zombie babies? Go on.
I feel like my inclination is zombie babies.
I think so too.
All right. So I just want to give a big congrats to Derrick Henry on the Juwanna Man Among Girls of the Year. Please collect your prize next week.
We'll be mailing you a autographed by us copy of Juwanna Man. Just go ahead and text us your address or email us or hit us up at The Rookie Show.
Hit me up on Instagram at C Travis Knoll. And
the C stands for Cap'n Crunch.
Bingo. Oh, man. Sorry. So, any more natty thoughts?
Yeah, I have a couple, actually.
All right, go ahead.
Quick notes. Jamar Chase and the Jefferson, the receiver for LSU, are freaks.
Yep.
Travis, as I dubbed him, Knoll, ATN, is super good for Clemson.
Yep.
And it's weird. I thought it was pretty wild to see the next year's presumptive number one pick just get outplayed like by miles by the other quarterback.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody recently. Oh, and we were talking about Nick Wright tweeted this morning how Joe Burrow doesn't do anything great. Or he was talking about how he does everything well, but nothing. I'm like, how about throw? Like, he throws great. He's a freaking quarterback.
Pretty well.
Like, the one thing you want to do as a quarterback is he does great. But people were saying, like, I would argue that if Trevor Lawrence was eligible to leave right now, I think Burrow would still be the number one pick. Do you?
Yes.
I guess I'll admit it would be closer. Because
no, I'm taking it back. Lawrence would be one.
If I were a Bengals fan, I feel like I'd have talked myself into Joe Burrow by now over Lawrence.
Totally fair. I don't blame you. Lawrence looked pretty shook at certain points during that game, and Burrow did not.
They showed some stat that Trevor Lawrence had like the most overthrown passes in a game like of any quarterback in college football this year. I mean, you could tell. He was just sailing them. He was Jamarcus Russelling them.
It was a lot. Very, very Jamarcus Russell-y performance.
Yeah. What'd you think of the targeting call?
So that was my next thing. I would love, so I guess by the letter of the law or whatever, they got the rule right. I think it's stupid. To me, it seemed like the receiver catches the ball and then he kind of ducks down in his spot and lowers his head to that area. So it looks like the helmet's going straight to the neck and the chest, or the chest and the head. I would love to see some discretion or situationality used by the refs on the rules, but I guess it's not like the refs have ever given us a reason to believe that they would make the right choice there, you know?
True. Yeah, for me, and by the way, if my parents listen to this podcast, they're going to really love the word situationality. But the rule, I think, is meant to prevent guys from launching the crowns of their heads at guys, which is exactly what that guy did. And I don't think, in my opinion, that was the exact hit that they are looking to eliminate from football. So I don't think it has anything to do with discretion on that individual call. I think the rule, I don't think kicking college kids out of games, especially when it might be their last college game of all time for a mistake, is fair. So I think you find a way to make the penalty extremely severe, like make it a 50-yard penalty for all I care. Give the other team 3 points immediately. I mean, like, I don't care. Make the penalty such that it still discourages guys from doing it as much as it does right now. But don't kick dudes out of what could be their last game ever, you know, and swing the entire game that way.
That was the first thing I looked for, was to see if that guy was a senior. I couldn't even imagine if that guy had gotten junior. He was a junior.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I was like, I couldn't even imagine getting booted like that. When your team, they were driving on them, but I think the game was still 28-25 at that point, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it wasn't too far out of reach, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No. So let's talk about the last important thing about this game is that I made a bet on the over, which I thought I had gotten at 67.5 points.
Yeah.
I actually thought I got it at 67. I was just wondering what you got it at. Right. So the game ended up being 42-25, which is 67 total points. And I texted you in the fourth quarter, I think. Midway, probably with seven, eight minutes left in the fourth quarter, when it was already 42-25, and asked if I had it at 67 or 67.5, and all you text me back is 0.5, ... And yep. You said, don't worry though, I guarantee you win. I said some pretty choice things. I was like, man, I really hope you don't jinx me there, or something like that. And then they just continue. Right after you say, I guarantee you win, Trevor Lawrence fumbles the ball while driving, and then LSU just holds the ball for 4 straight minutes and runs the clock out. And I text you like 3 times in a row. I'm like, seriously, fuck you. You're such a piece of shit. And then you're like, all right, just tell me one thing. Who's the best bookie ever? And you send me a screenshot of actually having it at 66.5. So I'd won the whole time, and I was just pissed off for 20 minutes for no reason.
It was the most fun part of the game for me by far. Like, I was rooting so hard for nobody to score just so you would be so pissed off. And then I could totally redeem myself.
Oh, my God. I was mad.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Roller coaster of emotions for everybody involved.
Last note I want to say is Coach O's voice is absolutely incredible. What the hell is going on?
I don't know. What happened to that guy? It's like he drowned in acid or something.
He chain-smoked rocks when he was a kid or something. I'm not really sure what he was doing.
I don't know either, but he's
the man. Go Tiger!
Go Tiger!
I would pay a lot of money to see that guy do karaoke.
What would he sing? What song would you pick?
Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Both parts. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I like. All right, Noel, let's move on to some non-football stuff, starting with angles from the outfield.
Oh, one of my favorite segments.
Do you have an angle from the outfield?
I don't, not in particular.
Okay, good, because we have a long one.
Okay.
From avid listener, Jordan Patton.
Oh, Oregon, my guy, Jordan.
An Oregon Duck alumnus. This is a good one, Jordan. Thanks for the suggestion. Jordan wanted to ask to rank or give our top Adam Sandler movie cameos in addition to our Adam Sandler movie rankings.
Oh, okay.
So as you suggested, we're going to do a fantasy draft.
Yes.
Of the Adam Sandler movie characters. So here are stipulations. Actors can only get chosen once by each of us. Correct?
Okay. Yes.
And then they have to be different characters, though. So no overlaps.
Right, exactly.
And then I think that you want to do, we can do multiple movies or same movie multiple times.
Yeah, I got a couple picks that I probably picked two guys from different movies. So kind of the idea, too, is that we wanted to honor the group of, like, strange actors that are in all these Adam Sandler movies that, like, are never the star in any movie. They're just, like, his buddies that travel around. So we wanted to rank their characters, essentially.
They're just his homies.
Yeah, I think this is warranted after... I felt like we definitely got the most feedback from our fans after a podcast from the Adam Sandler rankings. A lot of people had a lot of comments. So I think it's warranted to go a few more minutes on Adam Sandler movies. So I'm ready for this.
Agreed.
And we'll just go back and forth. We won't do like Snake. We'll just...
Not
Snake.
You want to
flip a coin for who goes first?
I got the coin in hand.
All right.
Call it in the air.
Okay. Tails never fails.
Heads. Twice in a row now.
Damn it. All right. The floor is yours.
Okay. Floor is mine. I was actually kind of hoping you would get it so I could take a different Rob Schneider character later on. Because it's
exactly what I was hoping.
Really?
Yes.
So it's definitely Rob Schneider, who is easily the MVP of all of the Adam Sandler cameo moments. I honestly thought about telling you that we should do Rob Schneider separately and then rank everybody else.
Okay, wait, time out. Are you, like, you're picking the actor and that's it? Or you're picking one
character, I'm picking the actor and a role.
Oh, got it. Okay, got it. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Don't worry about it.
Got it.
So, after much deliberation, I struggled a bit. I think that I finally settled on Townie from The Waterboy.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting choice. What's your reasoning?
Oh No, We Suck Again is timeless. And you can do it. I can't even say it without doing his voice.
You can do it.
You can do it. You can do it all night long.
I also like The Water Boy's a cheater. Cut his head off.
That was tough. There's a few other. I'm not going to say any of the other ones because I know you have your pick later on. I do have a couple Rob Schneider notes that I'll give really quick. What would you guess is Rob Schneider's net worth?
Oh, gosh, I'm bad at this, but $20 million?
Wow, it's way close. So it's $15 million. For some reason, I thought it was going to be up towards like 70.
Oh, so it's less than you thought.
Yeah, it's way less than I thought.
Oh, okay. All right. I was trying to go high, to be honest. So I guess it's...
what do you think Adam Sandler's is?
$100 million.
$420 million.
Yeah, that dude is raking in the cash. Think about how many times he's sold out for crap movies to Netflix.
More power to him. I would sell out for a crap movie in a heartbeat.
And then he didn't get any Oscar nominations, so he'll do it some more.
Oh, hell yeah. Last note is that Rob Schneider is an outspoken anti-vaxxer.
Oh. Wow. What a plot twist here. This is like everybody's going to get all bent out of shape about this, just like they got bent out of shape about Vince Vaughn shaking Trump's hand at the Natty last night.
Whatever.
I know.
Who cares? Drew Brees is canceled too.
Yeah, seriously. I think that's a good plan to save your notes. And then once we've named the an actor twice, we can do a quick little rundown of what his highlights are.
Right. All right.
So you're up, Mark. Since you've already picked Rob Schneider, I'm going to wait on my Rob Schneider pick.
This is why I wanted to do this.
It's smart drafting. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So my first pick is going to be Peter Dante, the Waterboy quarterback, because I mentioned him in the last podcast, and he is my favorite bit character of any Adam Sandler movie. I already went over my favorite line last week, which is, will you please still be my friend? No, get away from me. But he
was he going to be your number one?
Mm, You mean if I had the number one pick, or would I have gone with Rob
Schneider?
Would you
Schneider? Have gone Schneider
first? Well, now that I know you picked Waterboy, Rob Schneider, definitely. Because I ended up throwing Townie like third or fourth on my Rob Schneider rankings.
It was tough. I don't even feel good about it now.
Well, now you don't. So we have two Waterboy characters for the top two picks. So
I had Guy Grenois, which is amazing. When I was reading it at first, so I went to look at the character list, and I'm like looking at Peter Dantes, and it says G. Grenouille. I was like, what is that? It's like, oh, it's in Louisiana. It's Guy Grenois.
Oh, that's like a town, and that's his name too?
What?
What is Guy Grenois? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Guy Grenois is his name in The Waterboy.
I know, but what is it? Oh, you're saying it's a Louisiana pronunciation, you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Like the French pronunciation?
Yeah, I don't know that they ever say his name. I think I don't know if they ever say it in the movie. Do they?
I bet you Guy Grenois throws a touchdown pass in the first play.
Oh, that's right. Whenever I say that line, I don't know what they say. So I just say,
really? That's what he says. His name is Guy Grenois. All
right. Well, he's the number two pick in the draft. So you're up.
That's a really good pick.
Yeah.
So let's see. I've already taken those two. I'm going to take my number three, which is the other one of Adam Sandler's other dudes, Jonathan Loughran, as Nate from Anger Management.
No!
Yes!
What a great pick.
Yes. So Nate from Anger Management, he's sitting there when he goes to the first Anger Management meeting, and he's wearing the Iverson jersey, and he's listening to the Sixers game. And he's like, oh, guys, it's no problem. Iverson just missed a layup to win the game, so the Sixers lost. And you could see him getting mad. He's like, come on, man, you're going to dunk that shit!
I just watched that scene and shot that character at the top of my rankings for that guy. So
bingo. Yeah. Yep. So I'm taking Nate from Anger Management.
That's a fantastic pick.
Thank you.
And with that pick, I think that eliminates him from contention on my list. So I think it's good to give him his due now. This guy, Jonathan, how do you pronounce his last name?
Loughran.
Loughran. If you don't know who this is, he's the guy from The Waterboy that has the cross eyes. And he goes, good one. He's also one of the friends from Big Daddy. He's in several other movies, but mainly known for, I think, Waterboy and Anger Management.
Right.
So with the number four pick in the draft, I am going to go with Blake Clark, who is the old guy, and I'm going with Farmer Fran, another Waterboy character.
Isn't that too many?
Too many Waterboy characters?
We have three now.
Well, guess what? It's also the best Adam Sandler movie, so I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
Farmer Fran, all I can say about him is a lot of bay, another day. A lot of bay, another day.
Farmer Fran is a fantastic character.
I'm pretty sure he does that like gibberish talk in like four Adam Sandler movies. He's like, or no, Joe Dirt is the other
it's
one.
Joe Dirt, because he said, dude likes to see homos naked.
Yeah, exactly. He also is a drunk in I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. He's like the witness at their wedding, which I just watched that scene. Pretty much the same guy. Just gibberish talk. Yep. So that's number four pick.
Good pick.
Thanks.
I don't think you're going to take that one. So let me go for... So this is pick three for me, right?
Yeah.
Let me go with Steve Buscemi as Crazy Eyes from Mr. Deeds.
Great pick. Fantastic pick. I love it.
Crazy Eyes in the cell, getting the Oreo pizza, talking about the biting the mailman is great. I was looking at this, trying to find all what Buscemi has been in for Adam Sandler movies. He's been in so many goddamn movies and a lot of really, really famous movies.
I know. It's crazy.
He's a good actor.
He's a good actor. I always think of him in Armageddon. Like when I think of Steve Buscemi, I think he's like the crazy
That's
guy
news
in Armageddon.
To me.
What? Are you kidding? Wait,
I don't think I knew that.
You've seen Armageddon, right?
Yeah, I've seen Armageddon.
Okay, good. Yeah, he's like the guy they strapped to, they duct tape him so he won't blow up the rocket too soon. He like gets on the big machine gun and starts shooting everywhere and stuff like that. Anyway,
okay.
Buscemi is like the borderline guy on this list that I don't necessarily immediately think of him as like Sandler's friend, but he definitely qualifies though as a lot of cameos in Sandler movies. So good pick. Very good pick. I'll probably pick him a little later on. We're going five each, right? We're going 10 picks.
Five each. Yeah. All right. Deep.
So with my third pick, I'm going to go with Alan Covert, who is best known as the guy from Grandma's Boy. I'm going to go curveball here. I'm going to go 10 Second Tom from 51st Dates.
Mm, okay.
I had another pick that probably, I think I know who you're going to pick for him.
Do you?
But
I don't 10 think
Second
so.
Tom. Okay. Well, either way. I went through the list of this guy's movies, and he's a necessary piece of Adam Sandler movies, but I don't necessarily love all of his characters. I mean, I actually like him best in Strange Wilderness. I think that's his best role. But I'd say 51st Dates, 10 Second Time is one of the more unique ones.
So. You think you think he's better in Strange Wilderness than in Grandma's Boy?
Probably not. But he's a little more eccentric. Like Grandma's Boy, he's pretty like normal dude, relatively.
That's a good point.
So he's a little more eccentric in the other movies. But
what about Peter Dante?
Peter Dante,
Is he better as Guy Grandmore or as the stoner from Jesus Christ from Grandma's Strange, Boy, or in Strange Wilderness?
Or Strange Wilderness, he's kind of the same guy in every movie. Exactly. I still roll with the quarterback. I still roll with the asshole over the stoner. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I like
the cocky quarterback who is really bad, but also catches the game-winning touchdown pass. Hell yeah!
I have some choices to make. Okay, we can get some on Menchie's later, I guess. I'm gonna go four. So four. I'm going to go with Kevin Nealon.
Okay.
As the gatekeeper in Little Nicky. Better known as the guy with tits on his head.
See, and I wish I should have rewatched Little Nicky in preparation for these Adam Sandler things, because I remember that there's a guy with tits on his head, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's like the whole point of the thing. He's just like sitting at the gates of hell, like spinning booby tassels on top of his head. I remember when I was a little kid, that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's like a purposely made for like 12-year-olds to be like, exactly. How do these geniuses come up with this comedic gold? He has tits on his head.
That's exactly what it was. And it worked like a charm. I was in love.
Nealon is great. Nealon for I won't be picking him in my draft, but we already talked about his golfer role in Happy Gilmore, which is an all-timer as well. So we're on fourth pick?
Yeah.
All right. Fourth pick. I'm going to go with... I'll go to... Oh, wait a minute. I just realized since you stole one of mine. I'm just going to go ahead and go Rob Schneider. I don't want to make him my last pick.
Right.
So here's This was a really hard decision. I'm going to go with what I think is the right choice, but I'd like to give an on Menchie as well. The right choice to me is Big Daddy Delivery Guy. We already discussed him.
It was so close.
Last pod. Yeah. And I think you're right. The Waterboy is what started it all, and that's what like he's most known for. So that's a very solid pick as well. I think he's in the movie a lot more in Big Daddy and is more quotable lines. We already went through the fish, pony, hip hip mop anonymous. So yeah, that's the pick. Do you want to do his on Menchie's now that we've got him out of the way, or wait till our draft is over?
We could do it now. Yeah, Delivery Guy is really good. I rewatched the whole scene where he has to watch Sonny. And he's like beating the crap out of him while watching a Kangaroo Song.
Yeah.
I would say, so obvious on Menchie's, I thought you were going to go with Ula from 51st Dates.
Ula was, oddly enough, my third pick, actually.
Okay. And then, I don't know if you would have this one, you probably do, the Asian minister from Chuck and Larry, who I think is so quotable. The whole circle scene is just really top notch.
It's not like a triangle. A triangle has like corners. It's like a circle. It's so we talked about how Chuck and Larry couldn't get made now because of the homophobic part of it, but like that part is super racist. Like that's the most like stereotypical. I told you, Asian.
He does like the Chinese. Yeah, Eight Crazy Nights too. Eight Crazy Nights too. He does. Oh, you no pay for Scorpion Bowl.
I feel like those are like different accents too. Like doing like a, maybe this guy's Chinese and that guy's Japanese or something like that.
Could be. I don't know.
Yes, I absolutely love that. And what I probably was going to go with my second choice is the taxi driver from You Don't Mess With the Zohan. He is so funny. There's the scene where he calls the bad guy and he's trying to negotiate with him because he has the secret that Zohan is still alive. And he's right. like, I want Mukun Tukun restaurant. And he's like, no. 50%. No.
No.
25%. No. He's like, yogurt shop attached to the store. Okay. He's like, I want profits from yogurt shop. No. I get free yogurt whenever I want. Okay, within reason. And then it finally gets down to like he asked for some of his wives. And he's like, 20. No. I get to sleep with one wife. No. He's like, one pee-pee touch. He's like, okay. And then they all just start like dancing. Ah! It is the greatest scene ever. So
it's really, really
that's my sleeper pick for Rob Schneider. Like but yeah, that. Ula, 50 First Dates, and Asian Minister are also all. I think Rob Schneider, if we did the draft and just we could pick the same actor more than once, I'd probably pick all Rob Schneider characters.
He's, yeah, like we said at the top, he's the no question MVP of all the Rob Schneider cameos.
Yeah.
When you see him pop up on screen, just strap in.
Just
you're in for a ride. Yeah. So that's my five.
Yep, last pick.
I'm really struggling right here. I am going to go with Alan Covert again because I wanted to draft the three main dudes.
Yep.
This one is going to throw you off. I'm going with Soul Patch from Just Go With It.
Okay. I don't
know if
don't ring a bell. Okay. I have, but I don't.
So there's remember. This point where I think it's Jennifer Aniston is dating this dude before she goes on the trip to Hawaii with him.
Yeah.
And he's got this soul patch that is like a foot long, and he just keeps calling him Soul Patch, and he plays in this band. he's like, baby, what's going on? he's talking to Jennifer Aniston like that, and I really like it.
Okay, that rings a bell. I'm going to have to go back and watch. It sounds like a good pick. I wasn't stoked on any of his characters. Like, the caddy is classic, but he doesn't
You can't even
much.
Tell it's him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Thought about Sammy from The Wedding Singer, but he talks a lot in that movie, honestly.
Yeah, understandable. Okay, so I thought you were going to go Anger Management, the guy with the big dick.
Oh, that's right.
I almost picked that. I thought that was a good pick.
The giant hog.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So for the last pick in the draft, I'm left with two options. You didn't pick your guy, John Turturro,
right?
Who is the butler from Mr. Deeds and also the like crazy war vet guy in Anger Management. I went back and watched that group therapy session from Anger Management. So it is good. So funny, and I feel like if we redid Adam Sandler rankings, Anger Management might move up a little bit. That is a good movie.
It is good.
I'm going to go with Steve Buscemi, homeless guy from Big Daddy for my last pick. I think
good pick.
He's an integral pick. Considered him from Billy Madison, the guy where he says, glad I called that guy.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go Danny homeless McGrath. Guy from Billy Madison. Yep. So
good pick.
That's it. Who did we want to on Menchie before we finish this up?
I'm actually surprised you didn't go here. Nick Swardson's character from Chuck and Larry, Kevin McDonough, the gay butterfly dude, who says, homos one, crazy people zero, which is the only correct time you can use something one, something else zero. Don't use it in your Vegas Instagram post.
Ooh, actually, we should definitely do ranking next podcast of worst Instagram captions.
Okay, done.
Okay, done.
I've already got That'll a list made in my head.
That's a good on Menchie. I wanted to go Coach Klein. Henry Winkler from The Waterboy. He's in a bunch of Adam Sandler movies.
Stanley Yelnat's father.
Ooh, good reference.
Yeah,
dig it up. It's a good song.
Baby.
That's
Do you
the
have any
main
other on mentions?
Stuff. Not really. I'm looking through my notes here. Rob Schneider is kind of the same as the townie in The Longest Yard. He's the guy in the stands. Group hug in the showers tonight.
Right, right.
It's not bad. It's about all I got, though.
Okay. You didn't mention Dan Patrick. I'm surprised. I guess we wanted to keep it more to like the guys who had more lines than that, maybe.
Yeah, there were other guys. Dan Patrick, I already mentioned his only good line in an Adam Sandler movie last pod, so he didn't deserve a shout out this week.
I wanted to give one final honorable mention to, if only there could have been more cameos done, the clear number one may have been Chris Farley as the bus driver.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You know, I didn't even think about that. That probably is number one, but he's only in one movie. I thought about
stealing it, but it felt like cheating because he's only been in one movie.
Yeah, and as you know on this pod, we never bend or break the arbitrary rules that we make. Yeah, never. So just like when I picked Sven from Frozen for my Christmas movie draft. And Elvis picked the Polar Express train.
It was a good pick. All right, go ahead. Sorry, go on.
I think we could name our podcast One Last Thing because we both say one last thing four times before we end a segment. But go ahead. You do the one last thing and then I'll do one last thing.
Okay. My one last thing is that my favorite Adam Sandler cameo in a Rob Schneider movie is Rob Schneider as the "you can put your weed in there" guy from The Hot Chick.
Oh, yeah, he's playing the drums and stuff, right?
He's playing the drums. He's got, like, the Rasta hat on, and he tells the girls, like, they keep picking up stuff, but all he tells them is, the best part about it is you can put your weed in there.
Yep. Nice. That's a good last note.
Yeah, thank you.
My last note is, have you ever watched Mad Men?
Parts.
Okay, I watched a lot of it, and I don't really like it that much, but... One thing I noticed while watching the anger management group's therapy session is, you remember how there's the two like girls that are like into threesomes and they're like making out with each other in the group therapy session? One of those girls is Betty Draper. It's the same actress.
Really?
And I was pretty shocked to see that. I'm like, wow, I didn't know she was in anything else. And this seems like a step down from probably critically acclaimed Mad Men. But yeah, sure enough, that was her.
Sure enough.
Hey, I think that's the most important note. It's really definitely not the best last note. Pretty horrible last note. Can you do one last thing before we go?
One last thing. Noel sucks at one last thing.
Damn it.
Yeah. All right. You know what time it is?
It's 10:33.
Actually, it's time for everybody's favorite game.
Ooh.
That's right. It's time for Stumptown.
Oh my gosh. This is my favorite game.
This is my favorite game.
All right, I'm ready to stump you. This is a stump sound I prepared last week, but we went pretty long last week. I can't believe we're already at an hour this week.
Yeah, me too.
Stumptown, here we go. So this goes back to the wild card round. That Sunday, Taysom Hill. We're getting into Taysom Hill stats. Taysom Hill became the first player in NFL history to have 50 passing yards, 50 rushing yards, and 25 receiving yards in a game. Nobody's ever done it before.
Okay.
In a playoff game. I apologize. Right. Only 9 guys have ever done it ever in any game. And so there's been 13 instances over the course of NFL history. Walter Payton did it 3 times, which is pretty amazing. Of the 13 times it's ever happened, he has 3 of them. Only 2 of the other instances within those 13 that have happened all time are active players that have accomplished this feat, all right? Okay. 50 passing yards, 50 rushing yards, 25 receiving yards. One of them did it in 2011, and one of them did it in 2018.
Okay.
Can you name either one, and I'll give you one more hint. These two guys are currently teammates.
Whoa. Good. I'm glad you told me that because I thought one of them was going to be like Santana Moss or something.
Current active players. Active players.
Yeah, gotcha.
Santana is not current or active, but he is a baller.
LeSean McCoy?
No. Can I name? I don't know how many guesses I'm giving you. I'll give you 3 guesses to get one.
Okay. So they're currently teammates.
Somebody did it last year. Somebody did it in 2011.
Frank Gore?
Nope. And last hint, both of these guys have played for the same team their whole careers. So it's not like somebody who is like recently on that team or like they're known as teammates. It's not like a weird thing. If that makes sense.
Is it Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley?
It is not. I thought you were going to guess Mohamed Sanu, but it was not. The correct answer in 2011, Cam Newton did it as a rookie. And last year, Christian McCaffrey did it.
Dang it. I feel like McCaffrey definitely should have been higher in my thinking.
Yeah, but I'll give you a bonus, Stumptown.
Okay. I do love bonuses.
Bonus, Stumptown. Only 10 players in NFL history have thrown, rushed, and received a touchdown in the same game. Side note, Walter Payton did it in 1979. Since then, only two players have done so. So only two since 1979. One of them was David Patton for the Patriots in 2001.
Of course, him. Yes.
Yeah, D-Pat, as I call him.
Yeah.
And the other instance, the other instance occurred in 2005. Can you name that player?
2005. Antoine Randle-L.
No. I feel like if you took your time, you'd figure it out. The correct answer. Actually, who would your brother say?
Oh, LT, damn it.
Yeah, LT, baby. You're right.
If I had just sat there and thought about that, I would have gotten it.
Yeah, but
that's tight. Hey, good Stumptown, man.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
If you got that right, let us know. I doubt it, you losers.
You idiots.
Yeah.
Okay, the Stumptown brought to us by Frito-Lay Bean Dip. Thanks,
Frito-Lay Bean Dip. And Kobe Smulders.
Oh, that's right. Fuck you, Colby.
All right, let's do a quick preview of the championship games next week.
Okay.
First up, Tennessee Titans at the Chiefs. Chiefs minus 7.5 points at home.
So here's my Chiefs notes here. I'm going to be betting them minus 7.5. I just think they're way better than Tennessee. I've been betting against Tennessee for many weeks in a row and been losing a lot of money.
Right.
So you just stick to your guns, right?
Law of large numbers.
Right. Yeah. What?
You got to be right eventually.
Yeah, exactly. So my thought was, I was looking at the prop bets for this weekend, and the Chiefs to be the highest scoring team of the weekend are minus 130, which right. I felt like was pretty good odds, close to even odds, and like they should be the favorite. So I was thinking I'm definitely going to bet that. But then I did a little research here. The last five times that a team has scored 50 or more points in a playoff game that was not the Super Bowl. So in other words, they had another game the next week to play. Here's what they were. 2009 Arizona Cardinals beat the Green Bay Packers 51-45.
Okay.
Next week they scored 14 points and lost.
That's pretty good.
1999 Jags put up over 50. Next week scored 14 points and lost. 1995 Eagles put up over 50. Next week put up 11 in a loss. 1991 Bills put up over 50. Next week put up 19 points in a loss. And the last team to put up 50 points in a playoff game, then win the next week, was my Washington Redskins in 1984. But yet they only put up 24 points the following week, and they were able to get that win. So that's an average of like 15 points a game for the past times. So I don't know. Do we think this Chiefs team breaks that trend, or is it too tough to rely on a team to put up huge numbers in two straight playoff games?
I probably won't be jumping in on the team to score the most bet just because the way the Titans play, they possess the ball so much.
Yeah, that's fair.
They run the ball a lot. So I don't know what the time of possession is going to be like for the Chiefs to score that much.
At the same time, they were showing like the numbers of plays that the Chiefs scored against the Texans. It was like 2-3-3-2-2-6-2.
Yeah, they were scoring really fast.
Really fast. But no, I probably won't bet that now. I talked myself out of it. So, but who do you like in the game?
Chiefs. Chiefs minus 7.5. I'm same as you. I know we've lost money against the Titans. I like the Chiefs in this spot. This team is hot at the very much right time. So the Titans have had a very cute run. It comes to an end.
We need to figure out what the best thing to put with their money line or them in a tease, because like you're telling me these Tennessee Titans as a sixth seed are going to go through Baltimore, New England, and Kansas City all in the playoffs on the road. Like that would be the most remarkable run of all time.
Yeah.
So I don't see it.
It only would have been matched by if the Vikings had done what you were saying last week. You texted me about how it'd be incredible if the Vikings went at New Orleans, at San Francisco, and at Green Bay, and then just went to the Super Bowl. My God.
A Kirky versus Tannehill Super Bowl would be disgusting. Disgusting.
All right,
so we both like Chiefs minus 7.5 next game.
Yep. Next game, Packers at Niners. Niners minus 7.5 as well at home.
The Niners have more talent. The Packers have a better quarterback. Mainly, I just think 7.5 is a little too high for me. I don't know who wins this game, but I'm taking the points and the Packers.
Okay. I actually said the exact same thing. I think I do like the Niners to win the game. However, 7.5 is a lot of points to be giving what was, as of 2 years ago, still considered the best quarterback in the NFL. So
it is. It's tough because they housed them earlier this year. The 49ers right. housed the Packers. Does that mean it's unlikely? Oh, I think I saw a stat that was like teams that play in the playoffs that earlier in the year, the team that got beat by 20 or more points and then they faced again in the playoffs are like 3-14. So like the odds that Green Bay wins this game are not great according to that stat.
Okay.
But I don't know. Jimmy G hasn't been there before. Rodgers has. I don't know. I mainly just want the Packers to win, so I'm going to be probably betting on them. I don't know if we tease the Chiefs and Packers. Do we want Chiefs the Packers up to 13? Or is that dumb when they already lost by 30 earlier in the year?
I think so. I think that they could just as easily get housed as lose by 2 points. So
yeah. So I guess
we'll figure it out in the coming days. I think I do like the Packers plus 7.5. I might even throw a little tasty on their money line. We'll see.
All right. Yeah, I'm ice cold. So whatever, fade me. Fade whatever I say.
That's true. You're terrible.
I did say that Honey Badger was going to get a pick last week, and Watson just dropped one right in his lap, and it just went right through his, like, there was no one there. Right through his mitts. Right through his dicks for hands.
There's a reason he's on defense, man.
Yeah, he'd be a great receiver if he could catch the ball, like me.
That's right. He'd be running no wheel all day.
Oh, sick.
Sick.
And I'm sticking, our Super Bowl picks stand, right?
Super Bowl picks stand. Chiefs over Niners.
And I got Chiefs over Packers.
Okay.
It's been good. I thought this was going to be a shorter pod, but it's right on pace.
Too.
We're right at, well, I'll probably cut down to minute 10 or minute 05 or something. So it'll be good length.
It'll be good.
Good length. Well, follow us at Rookie Show Pod. Did I step on your toes there, Coin?
No, you're good.
Okay, follow us at Rookie Show Pod.
Follow me at King Coin on both Instagram and the Twitters. Let us know. Oh, go for it.
Let us know. I mean, it's interesting because is anybody that's listening not following us, or that is anybody going to follow us by us telling them to?
Dear mama, are you out there?
I'm gonna keep doing it. I'm gonna keep telling them to follow me at @DaCreamFillin on Twitter and at @CTravisKnoll on Instagram. The C, of course, stands for cauliflower.
Ah, I don't like cauliflower.
No, it's Captain
Crunch. Like you. I think we should keep doing it just so you can keep telling people what the C stands for.
That's kind of the goal. Yeah, I think we'll keep rolling with that. We'll see how long until I run out of C words. C words.
There's a... All right. Well, thanks for coming, everybody. Join us next week. Like and subscribe, too. And
like and subscribe.
Rate.
And share.
Rate
us. We got a 5.0 rating. We got 5 stars, baby. Keep the comments coming.
Except for Madsen, like, you dickhead, 4 stars.
Does he give us 4?
Yeah, he's a piece of crap.
The nerve, and he got a shout out on the pod, too.
Yeah, I know. Take it back.
Madsen, you have been unshouted out. Your shout out revoked.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Play us out, 303.
Oh, hell yeah.
Peace.
Tongues. Always pressed to your cheeks while my tongue is on the inside of some other girl's teeth. You tell your boyfriend if he says he's got beef that I'm a vegetarian and I ain't fucking scared of him. She has to touch me.